Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Blake Harrison. Joining me as ever is Stu Whiffin. Stu, how you doing, mate?
I'm all good, mate. You okay?
I'm very good. And we're very thankful to have a guest alongside us already. We've got the brilliant Lerone Murphy. Lerone, double thank you for coming on this show, because none of us, I think, realised the clocks went forward last night.
Yeah.
And I got up early this morning to watch what happened last night was Sandhagen Vera. And
oh, yeah.
I saw that you were tweeting at like 4 a.m. This is like only a few hours later on Sunday morning. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Do you know what? My sleep's been messed up for about 4 or 5 weeks. You know, I keep waking up at like my times, like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I need to get a full night's sleep.
So, did you watch any of last night's fights?
I watched the prelims. I watched a few fights of the prelims because there was a few guys in my division fighting, so I always like to have a look at them. But I fell asleep. I've not watched the main event yet.
Okay,
Lerone,
ruin it for you.
Did you watch that CJ Vergara guy that got absolutely destroyed in the first round and then literally just pulled it out of the bag and smashed the guy in the second?
No, I heard about it though. Do you know what? I like to. That's what my Sundays are for. I like to just chill out and watch the fights. I don't like really staying up till like 6 a.m. to watch them because it messes up my week then. But yeah. I watch them back today for sure.
Nice. And I did see you tweet something last night that I wanted to ask you about, and it was something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, so forgive me, but something along the lines of, I need to get myself on more of these like fight nights because I'm always on these pay-per-views and the bonuses go to like the popular guys, effectively, the guys in the mains, the co-mains, all that stuff. Is that like, do you feel that there is a bias towards the bigger names when it comes to the bonuses?
100%. I think it's just like a more so a fan thing. So if all the fans are tweeting or commenting on the posts that the UFC posted, which they're obviously going to do, like in terms of, like the Gaethje Fazeev fight, it's a good fight, but like everyone's gonna go mad about that fight because they're the big draws, aren't they? So that's who to give the bonuses to. It's always been like that, though. I think the only bonus I've got was on a fight night card against Ricardo Ramos, and that wasn't really even a good finish. It was just a TKO, and I got a bonus. Do you get what I'm saying? So, and I knocked out Amir Khani with a clean.
I was going to say, I'm amazed you didn't get one for the Amir Khani fight. I mean, that was a sick knockout.
This is what I'm saying, and that was like a clean knockout, the only clean knockout of the night. The ones would take TKOs. And I didn't get it. So it's just like, I think, obviously, I'm not just fighting for bonuses, but I feel like you get more eyes on the fight night cards for a person like me anyway.
And especially been like, when you look at like, don't get me wrong, maybe not so much Fiziev, but Gaethje especially, like, he doesn't need the extra 50K. Like, he's going to love having it for sure. But when you're looking at people like yourself and your opponent for UFC 286, Gabriel Santos, who, you know, that was his first fight in the UFC, you're the guys where you go, they could do so much more with that bonus money. Yeah, and exactly. It seems weird because the UFC themselves, you're like, you want to grow these stars, make like these younger fighters better and all that. Focus on giving them the money and the financial security to just go and get the best training you can. Go and get the best nutritionist you can. Go and just do all that stuff. If you've got any niggles, you might have to get specialist surgery, physio, any of that stuff. Give it to the fighters that are not earning as much because it'll benefit the whole show in the end.
I agree fully. And I just think it should just be like fair, almost like just whoever gets it, not on name basis really. But yeah, it, especially my opponent, he probably started his career on 12-12 possibly.
Yeah.
So for him, I think he definitely deserved it coming in short notice and putting a great fight. So, but yeah, it is what it is, man. Not complaining.
And I've just noticed, how's the hand? You've got like a wrist guard or something on your hand. How's the hand?
I dislocated my thumb in the first round. So my thumb's pretty messed up. I've got to get a MRI. I had an X-ray on it this week, but I'm going to get an MRI because I think it's like ligament damage and stuff. So got to just get that sorted out.
ASAP. And that happened in the first round.
Yeah. The first takedown he got, I fell backwards and then my thumb just like jolted, like it's come off and I could just feel it like weird. Like it's like it's out of its socket or something. It was nasty crunching around.
And are you aware of that in the moment, or is the adrenaline going, you can't really feel it, or are you in the moment, are you like, oh no, my thumb's gone?
No, I could feel it. I could definitely feel it, but it like as the fight went, you kind of forget about it almost, or your adrenaline covers it up. But when I first done it, I felt it and I could feel it, like because I was trying to do like a C grip against the cage, like hold his hand, and I couldn't grip with my hand.
Oh man!
Wow. Well, let's look at last Saturday, because Blake and I were there and the atmosphere in there was absolutely insane. Talk us through how that felt walking out into the O2 in front of a British crowd.
Oh, do you know what? It was crazy, you know, and I, like, since I've signed with the UFC, because my first fight was in Abu Dhabi, I fought against an away crowd almost, and it was kind of like booing on the way out. So I loved that, but I wanted to feel the other side of it, which was my home fans. So when I walked out in the O2, it was amazing, man. It was amazing. And it wasn't even that full then. I think it was probably like 75%, 80%. Because obviously I fought pretty low down the card and it was quite early, but it was still amazing, man. It was a great, great feeling. And I remember that for the rest of my life, for sure.
How I wanna cover everything, but how difficult was it accepting a fight on a week's notice against a guy in Gabriel Santos who's clearly very, very talented, but no one really knew him, particularly in like the UK and stuff like that. And you know, it's one of those kind of low reward, high risk fights.
Yeah.
It was that hard, and he's undefeated. So you know he's coming in with confidence. Like, for you to take that fight on just, what was it, like 8 days' notice, week's notice, something like that, that's quite a big ask of you. How difficult was that decision to make?
It was, do you know what? It was they basically said, it's either that or you don't fight in it. So what are you going to do? Like, I've already missed so many London cards. I had to fight in it. But I'm not one to turn away fights anyway. But it's like, for me, I feel like if I can't beat somebody outside of the top 15, I feel like I'm top 15 level. So if I can't, I should be able to fight anybody. But the only difficult task was, I've been obviously training for orthodox boxer almost, and then I got some mad style southpaw. I didn't get time to drill for southpaw. Didn't get no rounds with southpaw. So it was just all a bit crazy, but you just got to be ready at any time, innit? And it's just like a big experience for me to overcome, almost taking that fight on short notice, risky fight, and getting through it. But it was better than I thought it was going to be, to be honest.
And so that kind of last minute change of opponent, you say very stylistically different. You didn't have time to really adapt to that. But to get the win and put on the performance that you did, do you take a lot of confidence from that going forward, going, do you know what? If short notice opportunities come up, because that you're in one of those divisions, I feel like it's like bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight. They're so stacked, all of them. And I kind of feel like featherweight is one of the divisions that gets overlooked a little bit. People talk about the bantamweights, they talk about the lightweights, and featherweight sometimes gets a little bit overlooked, but I think it's just as good as those divisions.
Yeah. Certainly for British fighters. It's stacked with British fighters.
Stacked with British fighters now. But like to climb the rankings, I kind of feel like it's really, really difficult to climb the rankings in those divisions. If short notice fights come up, that seems to be the best way to maybe go, oh, I can leap into a top 10 spot here because someone's dropped out and I can take a fight on a week's notice or 2 weeks' notice. Have you gained a lot of confidence for potential situations like that? Because, you know, as much as people say, oh, this Gabriel Santos, he took the fight on a week's notice, but you did too. As you said, stylistically, very different fighter. So if opportunities come up on short notice, do you think you'd be more inclined to go, yeah, I'm going to take that fight because I believe in my abilities even more so now?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's all about risk and reward. So if they're going to offer somebody that's top 15 or whatever on short notice, then yeah, I'm in. But where I am in my career now, I think I looked on Tapology. I don't know if that's proper rankings, but I'm like 16 now, so I'm right outside now. So it's kind of got to be like business moves almost now. If I want to make a real title run anyway, but. What was I saying then?
It's got to be a top 15 ranked guy next, surely.
Yeah, I think so. I'm 4-0 and one draw, which I believe I won. So yeah, I feel like I deserve my shot. And I know the last fight wasn't the greatest performance from me, but you have to look at the situation. I've come back from 17 months out. I had horrific injuries and I just fought a 10-0 guy that was very good. And I feel like he's going to make waves in the division. And I feel like that win's going to age very well.
Is there anyone in that top 15 kind of area that you think would be a good matchup for you next?
I feel like they're all good matchups, you know. I looked at the rankings just the other day and you have Danny Ige in there, good matchup. Yep. He's a good fighter. He looked great in his last fight. You have Sadiq Yusuf in there, another great fight. Yeah. You have Barbosa.
Edson Barbosa. Alex Caceres as well.
Caceres in there, yeah. So look, every single one of them fights is a great fight.
You mentioned that you was out for was it 17 months in total? Yeah. Alone. For listeners of the podcast that don't know the sort of story that went on there, can you give us a little insight as to why you was out for so long and what happened?
Yeah, so I was training for the Nate Landwehr fight, which was supposed to be last March 26th, and I had I got injured wrestling, so that put me out of that fight. I had to pull out of that fight. And I've been in fights with torn ligaments in my knees, torn everything, and I always get in there. But this injury, I couldn't even get out of bed. So I had to pull out of that fight, unfortunately. And then I was building back up a few months later. I was building back up to get back in the cage for maybe July, August. And I was riding on my cycle, doing some cardio, and a car came out of nowhere and took me off my bike, nearly killed me. So that set me back massively. I had head trauma, bad deep concussion, few injuries on the body and stuff. So that put me back massively. I wasn't able to train properly till about November.
So how long of a gap did you have even with training?
A few months. I was able to come back and like do like bits of pad work and stuff like that, but I wasn't doing anything, obviously, that's going to injure my head or whatever. So I was just doing like light bits of work, little bits of strength and conditioning and stuff, but I wasn't able to train properly, like I said, until November.
I mean, Lerone,
when your MMA career is finished, and they make the film, the Lerone Murphy film. Mate, there's some content going in there, I'll tell you.
I know, mate. I know. What a life.
Well, on Stu's point, I mean, you're nicknamed the Miracle because you survived a shooting. You were shot in the face. Yeah. You survived that. You've now been in involved in a horrific car accident. I mean, are you really lucky or really unlucky? Like, what's that? How do you look at it?
A bit of both, mate. A bit of both, you know. Obviously, I must be lucky to survive, but I'm unlucky to be in the situations I've been put in. But they've all happened for a reason, man. And even the time off, I needed that because I feel like it's given me more of a push, more of a mental boost. Like I said, I was watching the two UFC Londons on the couch last year, wasn't able to compete. And I was seeing guys with probably half my ability, I believe, doing well, and I'm good on them. I'm happy for all them guys. They're flying, but I was just watching, thinking this should be me.
Yeah,
like it should be me. And it's like when I wasn't injured. Obviously, I'm always training, I'm always looking to fight, but I don't think I was pushing as hard as I could have pushed. And now I'm aiming for activity. I want to be fighting 3 times a year.
Yeah, well, that's what we want to say. I was going to say to you, I mean, obviously, you've got to get the MRI scan on the thumb, but when do you hope to be back in there, or is it too early to tell because you need the results of that scan?
I don't believe this is a horrific injury. I believe even if it is grade 2 tears, it's maybe 6 weeks, and then I can train again. So I'm aiming for July, UFC coming back to London. I'm gonna.
Is that official? Have you heard anything?
I'm hearing little rumors, but I'm not sure if it's concrete. But I'm pretty sure they will do it. You have Tom Aspinall's back. He's a big draw, headliner.
Looking great as well at the moment. He is.
He's a real title contender, I believe. I believe maybe a year or so, he'll be a good test for John Jones. John Jones is only getting older. I feel like Tom will get a title at some point for sure. So that'll be a big card. So July is a good time for me, and then hopefully I'll go back to Abu Dhabi in October. But I'll have to put on a big performance in July because I know that Abu Dhabi card.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's always stopped.
Yeah.
Well, Lerone, before we start talking about fights, you've mentioned that you want a top 15 guy next. I personally think you deserve it. You know, you're undefeated, you're on a great run. But we do have to mention, and he was on our show recently, we have to mention Nathaniel Wood, because I almost feel a little bit responsible for some of the beef that's gone on between you, because it all seemed all right. Like, just to take the audience through it, it seemed like, and jump in if I get anything wrong, but it seemed like at the start, everything was fine. Both of you were like, just enjoy the violence. And people like myself and Stu were very disappointed that you two were fighting each other, because we'd rather see you guys fight opposition from abroad, someone like that. You're both great fighters and both great guys. We want to see you both do well. And then Nathaniel pulls out from the fight with an injury, and he tweets something about, oh, he felt like he would have put on a masterclass, which I understand from your perspective feels a bit insulting, but it seemed like he was more talking about how he felt within himself. And you went back and forth a little bit, but then it seemed amicable. It seemed like you'd kind of realized it was okay.
I believe so when he tweeted that tweet, I believe he could have worded it different, innit? In my mind, a masterclass is like a one way traffic fight. Like, you just smoke someone. Do you get what I'm saying? So in my mind, he should have maybe tweeted, "Oh, I've been in the best I've ever felt. I would have put on a good performance or whatever." A masterclass to me is downgrading me, innit? So I've always had respect for Nathaniel. I've watched him through his career, from Cage Warriors days. I've always loved how he fights and how he carries himself and stuff. And I've always had great respect for him. But I feel like this situation here kind of showed me another side to him, and I lost all respect for him from that. Obviously, we got matched up. We both had a conversation about it, like, let's just fight and whatnot. There's no bad blood, and then things just kind of escalated, like, through little tweets and stuff. And I just think if you pull out of a fight, you don't then start saying you would have done this and you would have done that, because you've not made the fight, and you got injured, okay, but you don't start saying you would have done this and would have done that. You just leave the person to think. And then he started tweeting fight week, and I'm like, bro, do you get what, like, you're trying to take my mind off my fight when you've pulled out. So we had some back and forth messages, but it is what it is, man.
But, well, the thing is, it seemed to be that you'd kind of got over the hump of that tweet, both of you. And then I asked you on the media day whether or not you'd be interested in that fight, because he is still interested. But he said it very respectfully. He was on our show saying that he wishes you nothing but the best and all that kind of stuff.
But does it all? But does it all?
Well, that's what he said. And
no, yeah, that's what he said, because he's trying to come across. If he's fighting on fight week, I'm not going to be tweeting him and not trying to wind him up, but I'm not going to be in tweeting about him when he's got a fight to worry about. So does he really wish me the best? I don't think so.
So do you think there was a little bit of some kind of mind games or something going on with him there, maybe?
Yes, I don't know. I just think, out of respect, you don't tweet people. Like, I wouldn't call somebody out on fight week when they've got a fight.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? I wouldn't do that. After the fight, I would say, oh, your performance wasn't that good. I think I'll beat you. Whatever. Let's fight whenever. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's me personally. So, but each to their own, innit?
Yeah. And so, I mean, you're saying now, like, and as I said, I agree. I think you deserve a top 15 guy. Do you feel like the Wood fight is something that down the line, if he gets a couple of wins, could happen? Or do you think, I'm just not even bothered about that anymore, I'm just moving on with my own thing?
It's not been that I'm not bothered anymore. It's like, if the UFC matches, we fight, in it, simple as that. I'm not going to say no to a fight. If the UFC believe that's the fight to make at the time, we fight and we see who's better in it. But like I said, I'm not chasing that fight. I believe I'm ahead of him now, so I'm not chasing that fight. He's only had two fights at featherweight, one against Charles Rosa, punch bag, who's been cut now, and then once against an off-charge Jourdain, who gets mixed results. He's not beat anybody decent in the division yet, so I'm not chasing that fight. Why am I going to chase that fight? I'd fight him, but I'd rather fight Nate Langlois, who fought last night. He's 3-0. On a free fight winning streak, that makes more sense to me, beating him. But if like I said, whoever we get, we're fighting it. Simple.
Yeah. Well, look, we don't want to harp on about this. We'll move on to like other fights and stuff. But I just want to say that I think you're both great guys, and I don't want you to beef with each other. I hope that you get it all sorted and that you're both all right, however it plays out, whether you fight or not. But But yeah, so
speaking of great guys as well, Lerone, I do want to ask you thoughts on Jack Shaw's performance at the weekend at featherweight.
Jack Shaw's always been a good fighter, man. He's always been very good, and if he gets you back, it's game over, innit? But yeah, man. He done well. He done well. I think a lot of people's like, oh, how will he do it at featherweight and whatnot? But he's big. He's a big bantamweight anyway. I think he'll do well. You know, I think he'll do well at featherweight. He's not cutting as much weight. He's got a good style for the division, and let's see how he goes, man.
Lovely.
Right. Well, let's move on to a few fights. We were potentially going to talk a lot about UFC 287, but me being the idiot I am, I forgot that the UFC have got a week off this week, and it's not the preview to 287. But let's go into a few fights anyway, and some others as well. Pereira Adesanya, is this a fight where you will watch it with like the kind of like, I don't know, like a schoolboy mentality of like taking notes? Because these two are like elite. When it comes to striking, you don't really get much better than Pereira versus Adesanya. So are you watching this with like a pen and pad in hand, like taking notes, and or are you just a fan watching it?
Yeah, I'm a fan watching it. And obviously you take things from fights, you learn things from fights, and them two, like you said, are the elite strikers in the UFC. So I think Adesanya's going to get it done this time. You know, I know Pereira's beaten him so many times, but he's so close the last time. He nearly stopped him at the end of the first round. He just gets caught, doesn't he? But I think he's going to fight up. He did fight a smart fight last time, but I think he's going to fight an even smarter fight, and he's just going to pick from the outside.
Do you think he needs to go to any kind of wrestling or anything like that?
It looked to work last time, didn't it? I think that's the safest way to win, isn't it? The wrestle, but he's not a wrestler, is he? So I think out of ego, he's going to want to beat him on the feet, but I think for Adesanya, he's just happy to... He needs that win, doesn't he? He needs a win now.
He does. I mean, for me, just the size of Pereira is just scary. It kind of feels like Adesanya needs to fight the perfect fight, whereas Pereira just needs one good, clean shot.
Yeah.
Because I think it's clear from their kickboxing bouts as well, Adesanya, I think, is technically the better striker, but that power is such an equalizer to the technique. It's a fascinating fight, though.
It doesn't matter. Like, look how many fighters in the past have had, like, not, I won't say zero technique, but low technique, and have been the champion. Like, even guys like Robbie Lawler, just a brawler, just hits hard and just has a mad mentality. And I feel like even the fight the other day, Fiziev and Gaethje, not to say Gaethje's not got good technique, but Fiziev is way more technical. And sometimes it just comes down to power and just grit and determination. So, over five rounds, Pereira can clip him at any time, can't he?
And it felt like that, though. In the last fight, it felt that like Izzy was just moving and trying to sort of pick at him. But it just felt that every time Pereira just let his hands go, it was like, oh, shit, this is not good. I think we said it was like Drago versus Rocky, wasn't it? It was just like, it's just that one shot, you're just waiting for it to land, and it's like, that's game over.
But that's the beauty of fighting, and that's why we like to watch it for that thrill. Is he going to land the big shot, or is he going to pick him off? But Izzy did rock him, though. Izzy's got power and position too, so it's a good fight, man. I like this fight this time round better as well now. Yeah. I feel like it's a better fight now.
Another 10 seconds in that round, and Izzy would have stopped him 100%.
Another five seconds, that was over. He just needed to land one more time.
So the co-main event of 287 is Burns Masvidal. Most people aren't giving Masvidal a chance. I'm sort of leaning towards that camp as well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Does Masvidal have a chance, or do you think Burns is going to run through him a bit?
Of course he has a chance. He definitely has a chance. like I said, he's a top, what is he, six in the welterweight division or something. He's a good fighter, isn't he? But I feel like Burns is on fire now. Burns is on fire. I think it's probably like a 70-30 fight.
Yeah.
Where anything can happen, but I think Burns takes that fight.
I want Jorge to win because I think it sets it up then for Edwards. Rocky. And, yeah. and that's the fight that I think's really exciting. I don't think Colby at the moment deserves that shot. I think he's. I felt a bit bad when Dana just dropped that yeah, he's next in line. But I do think Jorge versus Leon, the backstory there, the beef, I think is like, that's the fight I think the fans want to see.
Well, Dana come out again last night and said it's certainly Colby. So he's going to be fighting Colby next. But I still think that's a good... If Rocky's beat Usman twice, he can beat Colby. They're similar fighters. I think he can beat Colby again. If he beats Colby again, there's nobody else for him until Rakhmanov.
Rakhmanov. He's a scary dude. That Rakhmanov's a scary guy.
Scary. I feel like that'd be a sick fight, man. But yeah. Rocky's looking good, man, everywhere. Yeah. He's good everywhere, man. But I feel like that's going to be his toughest test.
Yeah.
Sure.
And back to the featherweight division, your division. Another UK fighter, our friend Arnold Allen, is getting in there with Max Holloway. I mean, Max, for the longest time, people were saying he's up there with Jose as the greatest featherweight of all time. You've obviously now got Volkanovski, who's beaten him 3 times. How does Arnold Allen get on against Max Holloway, do you think?
Arnold Allen's probably the most underrated fighter on the planet, I think. Maybe because of his inactivity. But I feel like he wins the fight. I just feel like I know Holloway come back against Cater and look very good and stuff, but I feel like he's just been in a lot of wars now. And it takes its toll for sure. And Arnold Allen's going to be the fresher fighter, I think. You can never count Max Holloway out, but I feel like it's Arnold's time now. What is it, 8-0? 8-0 in the UFC. He's flying. I feel like it's his time. He wins that fight, takes that fight, and then goes on to fight for the title.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Arnold Absolutely. Can get it done, and I think he might surprise people and get it done in a really spectacular fashion. Because as you say, someone like Max Holloway, he's got such an amazing chin, but he can't be like that forever. And some of the wars he's had and all that stuff, like you can't keep taking all those shots. And Arnold, by all accounts, hits very hard. So
Dan Hooker testified to that, mate.
He's gone 15 rounds with Volkanovski. He got hurt. Was it 5 rounds with Poirier? He got hurt. He's gone. Yair Rodriguez went 5 rounds. He's had a lot of 5 round fights, man. And sooner or later, it takes its toll. And he's been in the UFC from what, 18, 19? I can't remember how old, but he's young, wasn't he? When he first signed. So he's had a lot of top level fights, man. So everyone has their day.
Yeah, and then we can't not ask you about this one. It's probably a long way off, and who knows whether USADA will get involved at some point or not. We'll have to wait and see. But the big fight that, you know, all the casual fans and people that don't even know much about MMA, they're all going, oh, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. What's your take on that fight?
McGregor wins all day. But he's had a lot of time off and he's coming back from a horrific injury, and I know how that is. I know how that is, and he's probably four fighting, probably worse than mine. He snapped his leg in half, do you get what I'm saying? Is he going to come back the same? We don't know. He's had a lot of time off, he's put on a lot of weight. So there's a lot of factors going into that fight, but stylistically, Chandler's not the smartest of fighters, and he walks onto a lot of shots, and you can't walk onto a McGregor shot, especially at 170. He's gonna have his full power. I think McGregor wins that fight, but it's a great fight for the fans. It's entertaining. Then the build ups to that fight as well will be funny. Mike Chandler's a choke showman as well, so he'll probably give it back to McGregor. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
I'm always interested to see whether Chandler will actually try and wrestle, because he's got good wrestling credentials. He can wrestle really well. But a bit like Justin Gaethje in the UFC, he doesn't seem to want to use it. He just wants to put on these crazy fun fights and have brawls with people. And that is where I think he will struggle with Connor, because if you brawl with Connor, he's going to be too precise. He's a sniper, isn't he? Yeah. But if he implements some wrestling, I think he's got a chance for sure.
But you say that, but I don't think he's got the level of wrestling as Khabib has, and Connor done very well with Khabib in them first rounds, very well, very well. He's probably the only guy that's kind of stuffed Khabib's takedowns, do you get what I'm saying? He done well. Obviously, Khabib started to wear on him, but I think Chandler will be able to wrestle maybe the first two rounds, and then he'll just start getting cleaned out. It'll be similar to the Mendes fight, I think.
Oh, do you reckon that's interesting?
Yeah.
One of the fights that was meant to have actually been on 287, but got moved or fizzled out, as according to Tapology, was Aljo versus Cejudo. What do you make of that one?
I think that one's pushed back to May.
Yeah.
Yeah, pushed back to May. That's a good fight, you know. A good fight. I feel like if Aljo gets through him, then who else is there for him? There's nobody else for him. He's beat all the greats. Obviously, Marab's don't want to fight him either. So who else is there for him? It's a great fight, that one. I'm looking forward to that one. Cejudo's a technician, though, isn't he? I think Cejudo wins. Where does Aljo beat him?
What do you make of that Sterling Mirab kind of, obviously huge respect for each other, but your mate's got the thing that you focused your whole life to get. And do you think that if Aljo gets the win, he goes up and allows Mirab to then?
Well, this is what it comes down to. I would probably be the same as Mirab. I don't think I could fight my good friend for the title, because obviously for fans it's different. Yeah, you don't want to see everyone fight, but this is personal. Fighting's personal, and you're putting your life on the line, and then your financial your financials online. So it's not a game. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, we're having a spa and then yous are both walking away. It's not that. There's a lot on the line. So I feel like if Aljo wins, maybe they should have the conversation where Aljo goes up. That's what a good friend would do. But it's like he's trying to cement a legacy also. So it's a selfish sport, man. So they're in a difficult position.
Yeah. I mean, Stu, unless you've got anything else, there's only one more fight that I'm interested in getting your opinion on, Lerone, and that, again, your division, arguably the goat of the featherweight division in Alexander Volkanovski, back down to the featherweight division, against Jair, who won the interim belt and looked phenomenal doing it. I mean, I actually wasn't overly interested in Jair Volkanovski until I saw Jair put on the performance he did against Josh Emmett. How do you see that fight going? Do you think that'll be very competitive?
He looked very good. He looked very good. I think that I just don't think anyone's touching Volk at the minute. I just don't. But with a fight like that, I always just put it down to percentages, really, because anything can happen in a fight, and especially when you're fighting someone like Yair, he's got submission offense, dangerous. He's got flying knees, all sorts of crazy techniques. So I always put down fights as a percentage, and I'd say that fight's probably like another 70-30, maybe, to Volk. Anything can happen at any given moment, obviously, but I feel like Volk's a technician as well. He'll just maybe shut him down, be too strong for him. And his distance management's like second to none.
Well, mate, thanks so much for coming on the show. Sorry if we didn't go any kind of deeper into 287, but I thought it was really great to get your opinions on those other massive fights. Look, I hope the thumb heals really well and you're back in there really soon. And, fingers crossed for that July hopeful, London card, and you get yourself a ranked opponent like you deserve.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure speaking to you guys too, man.
Oh, thanks loads, Lerone. We're going to press stop. Don't go anywhere. There you go. Lerone Murphy. Oh, what a top lad. I mean, do you know what? Nathaniel Wood's a top, top lad, but we had to go there, didn't we? We had to ask the question because, like you say, you almost felt a bit responsible for it because you asked the question with the best of intentions and you know, it's impossible that they just sort of snapped at each other, didn't they? And it was like, oh, no. And then it just kept unfolding on Twitter and it was like, bloody hell.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those things where, I mean, we had a little chat with Lerone about other things and stuff as well off camera. And, you know, fighters' egos are a real thing. And it was fight week. He was cutting weight. He was doing all that stuff. And, you know, but everything he says stands. In his opinion, you shouldn't be tweeting other fighters. You pulled out a fight, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I do genuinely just want to see them both do well. I think they're both lovely guys. Anyone that comes on this show, we have a connection to, and we always want to see succeed, which is why when the fight was initially announced, me and you were like, oh no, Nathaniel and Lerone are fighting each other. We don't want that at all.
The featherweight is the official division of lovely blokes. Jack Shaw, Arnold Allen. They're all just
Lerone Murphy, Nathaniel Wood.
Do you know what I mean? All just great. Top lads.
If Davy Grant goes up in weight, I won't be able to handle it. And they're all just too nice and talented. So yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, we want to see them all do well, and hopefully there's no beef. And in a way, hopefully, I'm sure it will. I think that, you know, they're both nice. I'm sure it'll be quashed with no real dramas or issues. And
one thing Lerone Murphy does not need is more drama in his life. Jesus Christ.
Fucking hell, man. Jesus Christ. That man, as he said, he's been through a lot. You don't know whether to call it lucky or unlucky, because obviously he's not only survived but thrived after these. He's had two moments in his life that are life-ending situations.
Walking in the cage must be a walk in the park.
Oh my God. I mean, Jesus. And then, but he's come through and, like, again, not just survived, but he's an elite level athlete. Yeah. He's thriving. He's doing well. And I agree with him. I think he does deserve a top 15 ranked opponent. He's undefeated. He's on a streak. He had an unbelievable fight against Gabriel Santos. And that is a legit win. I know that guy was on his UFC debut, but he was, I think, an LFA champion. He was undefeated himself.
Great fight.
Completely different stylistic matchup to Nathaniel as well. So a really, really tough fight for Lerone to take on short notice. As he said, he didn't get to drill anything, prepare for a southpaw, and he still came out with a fantastic performance, did really well. He's got finishes over the likes of Amir Khani, which, as we discussed, was a phenomenal finish. He should get a top 15 ranked guy now. And the idea of him fighting Edson Barbosa or Alex Caceres, or something, I mean, sign me up. Those will be cracking fights.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We've mentioned Jack Shaw as well. We're going to be sitting down with Jack and Richard Shaw in the next few days. So that episode will be coming your way soon. So it's a really good one to look forward to. Blake and I will do, I'm sure we'll do a real deep dive into 287, looking at some of the other fights on the card that will be coming out.
Yes.
Ahead of 287. And after that, it's just an endless roll of just amazing nights of fights. So we've got so much to look forward to, and we've got a few other fighters that we're chatting to at the moment that are interested in coming on. So there's loads of good stuff. Also, you've missed loads. If this is your first time listening, then go check out the back catalogue. There's a real lovely interview with Lerone when we first got him on the show, where we talk about how he got into fighting. We talk about when he got shot. You know, which sounds crazy just saying it out loud, but it's a horrific story. But we get a real deep dive into Lerone's career. So go check that out. We've mentioned Volk, we've mentioned Arnold Allen, Jack Shaw, and so many other elite level fighters we've been so privileged to have on the show, and they're all available for free wherever you get your podcasts. And you can watch them over on YouTube as well. So subscribe to us on YouTube, or subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. What else we got to say, Blake?
I think that's it, mate.
All right. I'll see you later.
Bye.